Nothing will improve prospects for Middle East peace, a long-lasting, real peace in the Middle East, more than an all-out war between Israel and Iran. Such a war, if fought properly, would end the regime in Iran. Iran is the one country in the Middle East, other than Israel, where a big part of the population is somewhat reasonable, and we can actually hope that a decent regime will replace the current one. And all the proxies of Iran that are fed by Iran, and trained by Iran, and surround Israel and attack Israel regularly, will no longer be able to operate, or will have to find a different source of funding. And yet, right now, as Iran threatens Israel, Israel sits and waits for whatever attack is coming. What exactly that might be, we'll talk about on this episode. But whatever it is, Israel is waiting. America is waiting. Both, keep saying that they don't want escalation, where escalation is the way to a brighter future, and nothing else will do. Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 188 of the war in Israel. James, I'm joined by James Valiant. James, your thoughts on this?
Well, right now I'm scared. Iran is almost certainly going to do something because of the attack on their leaders in recent days. They've threatened it. Ayatollah has committed himself to it. So I think we have to expect some kind of violent attack directly from Israel, somehow on Israeli interests. And frankly, it is our appeasement, as you pointed out, that created this. I want to use Iran's own language. The great Satan in the region is the Islamic Republic of Iran. They are the great Satan. Now, I don't believe in the supernatural. I don't believe in Allah. I don't believe in Satan. I don't believe in any of their ghosts. On the other hand, if you want me to name the real evil force in this region that really is the destructive force here, they are the people who finance Hezbollah and all of the Hezbollah agents and Hamas and the Houthis. They are the ones behind what began on October 7th as a coordinated attack, and there could be no mistake about that. It is our failure to recognize that Iran has been engaged in a coordinated attack against both Israel and America since October 7th in various ways, through various proxies, that has, of course, allowed this to be. We are the ones afraid of Iranian escalation when they should be the ones terrified of it. America and Israel could wipe them out, take care of it. As you point out, there's a secular population there who might actually give us a longer-term, better place in Iran, unlike most of the other countries in the Middle East. But I have to say, this all began more than 40 years ago. It was American appeasement of the Iranian Revolution in Iran 40 years ago, failure to address that, that is responsible for all of the Islamic terrorism. Our failure to name Islam as the enemy, our appeasement of that only encouraged Islam of all varieties. When 9/11 happened, we made distinctions between Shia and Sunni that were absurd. Yes, of course, Islam, different groups, they've been at each other's throats for centuries. They would go back to being at each other's throats. Look at the attack on by ISIS in Iran recently, which shows that. On the other hand, we do not take advantage of that weakness. That division among them, enhance it. We say, oh no, Shiite over here, Sunni over here. When in fact, it has been our appeasement of Islam, our failure to name Islam as the enemy for over 40 years now that has created all of the terrorism. 9/11, every terrorist attack that's occurred in Europe and America since then, all of the continued attacks on Israel. And then when it comes closer, when we bring our lens more into focus recently, it is Obama. Even Trump, and especially Biden's appeasement of Iran that funded October 7th. The West's appeasement of Iran directly caused October 7th. Our continued appeasement of Iran after October 7th will lead to more violence. And now we're all just holding our breath, wondering how many more innocent people will be killed by these Islamist savages, precisely because of that appeasement.
Yeah, and Jim, you mentioned You mentioned the appeasement started in 79 in the revolution. Oddly enough, that was a hostage crisis where the U.S. negotiated with terrorists. We have so much information and so many different instances of attempts to negotiate with terrorists and how that ends up, even if you end up getting the hostages for whom you're negotiating, what that means down the line. But I think the appeasement by the West of Middle East savages started before that and inspired the Iranian Revolution. The West didn't stand with Israel in 73. The West basically the oil embargoes, which is bizarre in its own right because this is Western oil that Arabs forcefully took over. And the West then started paying and begging for, and so the
Oh, we
appeasement.
teed up in the 50s. We teed it up in the 50s when Arab countries and Iran took the facilities the Western oil companies built. Was there any response? Was there any response? No. And however bad the Shah may have been, and believe me, we appeased this thug, the Shah himself. Was it replaced by anything better? No, it was replaced by something much worse. And we didn't do crap about it at the time. No, we let Iran take our oil facilities in the 50s, did absolutely nothing about it, and then we let the religious fanatics take over, take hostages. We negotiated for those hostages and completely teed up recent decades. Yes, it began earlier. We didn't have a clear idea. In fact, all of our policy in the Middle East since World War II has been messed up, has been appeasing, but it was particularly egregious in the 1970s. After the 73 war, after our failure to deal with the Munich Olympic atrocity, after our failure to deal with the Iranian Revolution, is it any surprise the jihadist terrorism of the last 45 years?
It's no surprise, and thank you, Dave Goodman, for the generous super chat. Your question ties into what I wanted to bring up next. So the question is, Dave says, I tend to think the idea of World War III is ridiculous, but why do you think evil is so energized at the moment? They must smell weakness. If Iran strikes Israel harder than expected, could this lead to a full-scale war with Iran? So first of all, I think, of course, it could. It depends on, as you mentioned, the severity of the strike, which is in itself ridiculous because they hit Israel. They are striking Israel daily from the north. They are behind Hezbollah. They are behind October 7th. So a reason to act militarily against Iran is something that Israel had every day since October 7th and before. But we also know that the original plan for what ended up happening on October 7th, but I guess Sinwar kind of went it alone, and it didn't really work out as planned, was for Hamas to attack from Gaza as they did, for Hezbollah to attack from the north, which they didn't, and then for Iran to maybe attack with missiles, which I think could have been the end of Israel. Certainly, if Israel goes out of its way to avoid civilian casualties, that could have been the end of Israel. Those plans are somewhere. They're in a drawer somewhere. They didn't burn the plans. So, is that what's going to happen? Are they going to attack from the West Bank? We're going to talk about the West Bank on the reality show and what's going on there at the moment. But that could happen. Iran has so many possibilities, and the reason they have so many possibilities is because Israel sits around and waits for the other side to act before it does anything. And so it does that again with the West Bank, with the North, with the Houthis, where Israel didn't act at all, except for shooting down some of the missiles. And it is doing that now. And I think bad things are coming. And hopefully, when the inevitable bad things come, hopefully, Israel and maybe the US will actually do something against Iran. James, I think if I speak for a few more seconds, you will go crazy there because you have stuff to say.
Well, I was just boiling over where he says they sense weakness. How many times have America has bases there? because of our fight with ISIS in Syria. And American bases in Syria and Iraq have been struck nearly 200 times, on a couple of those occasions, fatally. And what does America do? But practically nothing. Do you think they sense a little weakness? Do you think they sense a little failure to react? America should have directly attacked Iran, the source of all of these proxy attacks. Oh, they can disrupt half the trade going through the Red Sea via the Houthis, another proxy. Again, while Britain and America say they're going to do something, have they really done anything about it? No. Of course, they sense weakness. What about all these hostage deals that Israel does and America does with Iran or Iran's proxies? All these hostage deals, it only encourages it. Now, look at what Razi just said is very important. We know of coordination between Hamas and Hezbollah before October 7th. So why didn't Hezbollah come in full on? Well, America sent two aircraft carrier groups there. And I think that the presence of that kind of overwhelming force that neither Hezbollah nor Iran could deal with, frankly, discouraged them from actually enacting this. So there are things restraining Iran here, which is, of course, pulling the strings ultimately, because they supply 90 to 100% of all these monsters with their weapons. The question is to Iran, we have to fight back. The Ayatollah has committed himself to a strike directly from Iran, probably directly on Israeli interests. He's really committed to that. On the other hand, that same caution, if America really came in, if he changed the political situation in America for Biden, he realizes, the Ayatollah, that that would cause the kind of escalation he cannot afford, he cannot put up with. America or Israel could take out Iran, I think. I really do. But when it comes to Iran, America has played such a vital role in empowering Iran, enriching Iran, sanctioning Iran, and look at how Iran is disrupting the entire area. America has really let Israel down. Israel is on the forefront of this. And within the next 24 or 48 hours, the next set of blood is going to go against Israelis. And they are the victims of American appeasement. They are truly the victims here of the Biden policy or the Jimmy Carter policy or the Dwight Eisenhower policy that we've been discussing, this accelerating appeasement. Israel takes the brunt. Israel bleeds as America appeases. And if the Ayatollah can measure out the kind of response that won't change the political realities for Biden, isn't that disgusting? Isn't that fully disgusting? If Iran could only kill enough people that it doesn't really change the political scenario in America for Biden, they can get away with it. And that's exactly how they're thinking right now. That's the only limitation on Iran's coming attack against Israelis.
Yeah, and you mentioned how on October 7th, America initially, by the way, just said they were sending one aircraft carrier. That was the first thing they did, and and then Hezbollah backed down, which is such a such a basic. You would think people would understand. Okay, a show of strength means violence against you and your interests are it makes it less likely, and then a show of weakness makes it more likely. Even with Israel's hostage negotiations, which we've said we oppose there being any negotiations or deals whatsoever. But even there, we've talked about the deal that was in November, that was 150 terrorists, none of whom succeeded in murdering their victims, for 50 hostages when Israel was in a military campaign in Gaza. Now that there is a de facto ceasefire, whatever you call it, Israel is in Gaza, but it's not doing anything, so there is a ceasefire. Israel is offering 900 terrorists, 100 murderers for 40 hostages, and Hamas refuses. Of course, now Hamas says there are not 40 hostages that are still alive, which is its own, you would think, reason for a military campaign. And so every show of weakness results in an increase of violence against Israel. So imagine if strength was shown now against Iran, military strength. Israel, not waiting. You said you were going to strike. We believe you, and we're going to prevent it, like Israel has done in the past, like it did in the Six-Day War. The reason that was a Six-Day War was because the first thing Israel did was destroy Egypt's air capabilities and basically won the war in those first few hours because it struck preemptively. Why is it now sitting and waiting? Why is it hoping for a small attack that is just on military bases and only a few soldiers maybe die and then Israel doesn't have to do that? Is not how a country should operate when it really does its job in protecting its own citizens.
Crazy. All the violence coming from Iranian proxies over the last several months. And America and Israel refused to directly attack within the borders of Iran. Crazy. America and Israel have to get over that. We have to stop worrying about escalation. Iran are the ones who cannot afford escalation against America and Israel, not the other way about. But yeah, one of the things you point out is how Hamas has played us. They've played us so completely with these hostage negotiations, when in fact they probably have long since tortured these hostages to death, who they say they can't even locate anymore. Boy, were we suckers through all this. And when the history of this all gets written, our appeasement through this whole hostage negotiation crap is really going to be shown as horribly destructive to the fight against the bad guys. But let me tell you, it is Iran that should fear escalation. They are militarily inferior to either Israel or America, both of whom have honest beefs to have long since attacked Iran directly. And if it was Israel and America are afraid of escalating things with Iran, they've got things backwards. Make them afraid of escalating. Make them attack them before their threatened attack on Israel occurs. That's what must be done. And America's really got to have Israel's back on this. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, we will see more October 7ths. We will see more Islamic violence throughout the world. We are giving the bad guys a big reward if we don't. Preemptive strike? Oh, you can't even call it a preemptive strike at this point. You mean another strike in this ongoing war with Iran?
Hammernecker says terrorism works because we've let it work. Yeah, that is exactly the
Exactly.
case. Thank you, Clark Young, for the generous super chat. Clark says, asks, is anti-Semitism approaching pre-Holocaust levels? Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens are trying to provoke American Christians to turn away from Israel. The new generation on the right seems rabidly mystical and anti-Jewish. Yeah, I mean, my answer is yes. I wasn't around pre-Holocaust. I don't, I didn't live through that, but it's really shocking to see in our lifetime what is going on in this country, in the UK, in the US, how people are now openly anti-Semitic and not random people in a street corner, with a megaphone. These are people with a massive audience, an audience that agrees with them, that supports them. I think I am very, very afraid of the levels of anti-Semitism we're seeing and the kind of mainstream legitimacy that it's being given. In some cases it's fully open. In some cases, it's supposedly anti-Zionism, but we all know what that means. And in the case of the way even supposedly news outlets report, it is encouraged. It is encouraged across the board by the media, by politicians, in academia. I think it's almost unacceptable not to be anti-Semitic. James, your answer to Clark's
Want to
question.
hear a really scary statistic? Since October 7th, reported violent assaults on Jewish students at American universities now outnumber all of the pre-assaults in the previous 10 years combined. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Over the last 6 months, Jewish students have been physically assaulted violently on American college and university campuses. And the number of those attacks in just since October 7th exceeds all of the violent attacks on Jewish students combined over more than the last 10 years. So, yeah, we are dealing with a situation that scarily reminds me of the Weimar Republic and then the rise of Hitler and then Hitler's initial steps when he took power. That kind of, I'm, w is there a Kristallnacht In my country, which is supposed to be a friend to Israel around the corner, I am afraid of that for the first time in my life. When I grew up in the 70s and 80s, anti-Semitism was invisible to me. I went to university. I was listening to the media. It was bad taste. It was offensive. Today, anti-Semitism can be asserted. Anti-Semitic tropes can be asserted out loud without any social pushback. I am scared to death for my Jewish nieces. I am scared to death for my Jewish friends. I have not felt that any time in my life, not in America.
One thing that kind of comes out when the anti-Israel crowd opens their mouth, here in the UK at least, is that you see who these people are, not just in terms of their approach to Israel. You see that it's not unique. You see, as I've said on this channel many times, you cannot be pro-Palestinian in this war and a decent human being at the same time. You can be both at different times. You can, decide to
Different times
stop
at
being a
different
decent human
respects, yes.
being, or you can choose to think about the situation and later move to decency. But
Listen to them.
and
They're
you see it.
chanting. The Palestinian protesters in my country just the other day were chanting in this country, death to America.
Yeah,
Death to
again,
America.
that's one of the things we hear. Here there was this chant in favor of the Houthis, Yemen, Yemen, make us proud, turn another ship around. Again, ships that are probably delivering the goods that these morons consume. And so, there's, we mentioned Owen Jones, it's been a while. He had a video a couple of days ago titled Israel Plots War with Iran. So this scumbag, is actually siding with a country where women are killed for not wearing a hijab, where people are protesting to not be oppressed in one of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and he is siding with them against the only country in the Middle East that does not oppress its own people. And this again, this is a mainstream here at the Ayn Rand Center UK. We've increased our audience in recent months. We're a fraction of the size of the audience of Owen Jones, and we're very, very far away from the mainstream. This is a mainstream view. It's a mainstream view. If this war happens, it will be a mainstream view to support Iran. I can only imagine, we hear that this attack by Iran might happen tonight. It might happen, it's supposed to happen very soon. I wonder what tomorrow's protest, assuming it's a Saturday, assuming the streets of London will be flooded by savages, what they're going to say.
Celebrating,
I
will they
imagine
be
they will not be calling on Iran
exactly?
on a ceasefire on Iran's side.
Oh, I fully expect there to be demonstrations in London and New York celebrating the attack, Iranian attack on Israel. I fully expect it. If Israelis, if Jews die, if in fact this happens, who they're all going to be out there celebrating. Absolutely celebrating. Now, Iran, of course, in the last year or two, have executed multiple people for the sin crime of blasphemy. Women have been arrested for not wearing the hijab properly, and they've disappeared and died in Iranian prisons. These people, consider how Mr. Owen, my friend, consider what Iran does to gays. You can see the destruction of any kind of secular, rational civilization that they had in Iran since the Iranian revolution. There were women on the beaches in bikinis before these mystic savages took over in Iran. As Razi points out, this is one Middle Eastern country where they have a significant secular population, where there might be a better government that takes over. But do we do regime change there? No, we do it in Iran and we do it half-heart or Iraq, excuse me, do it half-heartedly. And of course, that just creates the vacuum for these monsters to fill right in and put all their proxies right up against American interests and Israeli interests. Yeah, it's
Thank
despicable.
you. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Yair. Thank you, Stefan, for the super chats. The Owen Joneses of the world sometimes do criticize Middle Eastern dictatorships, like they sometimes criticize Saudi Arabia. But the context in which they would criticize such countries is the fact that they are supposedly Western allies. Now, I, of course, object and oppose the idea of looking at any such country as allies. I don't want to say this is the one issue that I agree with Owen Jones, because I absolutely do not, because his position is an anti-Western one, in which he criticizes Saudi Arabia as a Western ally, and mine is a pro-Western one, in which I don't think we should side with savages and basically keep them in power with our support. But yeah, when these absolutely horrible regimes, do what they do to their own people and to again to Israel, because that is what they are that is what they are already doing with their attacks, with their proxies. The Owen Joneses of the world completely forget or ignore, or maybe secretly even support the fact that these countries do what they do.
Oh no, Owen Jones wants Israel gone. He would be delighted if every Israeli and American interest in the Middle East was gone. He sees it all as colonialist oppression in his twisted, collectivist, racist understanding of things. Owen Jones would be delighted to see Israel gone completely, there to be no civilized Western interests in the Middle East. That would be ha make him so happy. That is his goal.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to say, if major news breaks out, we are, of course, here every day with the Daily Objective, including weekends. But if news breaks out, we might have a show that is outside our regular schedule. Yeah, James.
I do not believe in God, but I tell you, I am praying right now. I'm praying right now to all that is good in the, not a God, not a supernatural God, but I'm praying to all that is good in this world that America and Israel get their act together. How many Israelis have to die in this upcoming attack? Because an attack is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming maybe within hours, certainly within days. Let us hope that it's not too many innocent people get killed. Let us hope that if any attack comes, no one gets killed, and America and Israel finally get serious about Iran so that the killing stops. That is all I have to say.
Thank you, Jonathan, for the super chat. I'm not praying, but I think praying is maybe as effective as hoping that anybody in Israel or in the US in leadership will get a backbone or grow a set or whatever body part you want to use for this analogy, and decide to actually do what needs to be done. Because again, if they wanted to do what needed to be done, they would be doing it now. They wouldn't be waiting until this attack comes. They wouldn't be waiting for Iran to do what they. So one of the reports that I read, I don't even remember where, but there are many reports on what Iran might do. One of them said there are going to be 100 drones and dozens of missiles. That is a full-scale attack. You don't wait for something like that. You
Do not.
prevent it. You don't know
Immoral
where
to
they're
wait.
going, but
It is immoral to wait. U.S. intelligence has been reporting, and it's been being reported in American media, that that is exactly the kind of thing that's going to happen, and that it could happen tonight or tomorrow. That's what is American intelligence is reporting. Why are Israel and America waiting for that to happen? It's immoral. Ugh, I'm sorry.
So while we were in the last couple of hours, a news story came out about a possible kidnapping in the West Bank of an Israeli teenager. That is going to be we're going to be talking about that and the situation in the Middle East, in the West Bank specifically, in the reality show. It's an hour-long show. Things are happening as we speak, so we'll also be monitoring the news. Thank you, James. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks, Mark, for the last minute super chat. And I hope to see you all on the reality show, which will start, as I said, about a minute after we go off the air.
Please be
We'll see you there.
safe. Please be safe, my friends in Israel.